Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Franchise Hockey Manager 3, the next generation of hockey strategy. It is available now. Franchise Hockey Manager 3 is the deepest, most authentic hockey strategy experience that you can find, including, for the first time ever, officially licensed by the NHL. It's got an all-new mode called Path to Glory that lets you jump in and have fun really quickly. You can take the reins of your favorite NHL franchise to capture the Stanley Cup Championship. Of course, you can play international leagues, you can play historic leagues. There are so many features, options, and tactics that are in Franchise Hockey Manager 3. It's an amazing experience. It's just $39.99. You can pick it up today on PC or on Mac. You can get it through outoftheparkdevelopments.com, the website, or you can get it right through Steam. That is Franchise Hockey Manager 3, available today. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you, as always, for joining us here on the Press Row Podcast. You know, the world of video games continues to evolve at a rapid pace, and it's all happening right under our feet. I mean, from the way that pretty much everything related to video games is changing or shifting, from the way that they're sold, right? People purchase games. The way that people purchase games has shifted dramatically from retail to digital download, to the way that people play their games. Games are becoming much more long tail affairs. People are purchasing less games but getting much more out of the ones that they do buy. You got the way that companies promote their games. Companies that publish games are moving much more into controlling their own messaging than to reaching out to the traditional games press. To the way that games are covered by what remains of the traditional gaming press. You know, there's less reviews, there's more videos, there's more streaming. Different sites are now sprouting up as connectors to larger organizations like Glixel with Rolling Stone and Waypoint Device, to the way that fans discover games. Fans discover games much more on YouTube, Let's Plays, and streams of their favorite personalities. And so all of this is kind of amazing to behold, and that's just what's happening right now. And by the way, the future isn't going to slow down. If anything, it's going to change at an even more rapid pace. And one of the ways that playing, discovering, promoting, and reviewing games has dramatically changed in recent years is live streaming. And so today, we got a few people here on the Press Row Podcast who are directly involved in this from a few different angles, so this is going to be fun. So up first, let's meet our first panelist. Everybody knows him as Millennium from Operation Sports, Chris Gunter. Chris, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, Rich? Always great to be back on my favorite sports gaming podcast.
Well, thank you, sir. We also have a first-timer with us joining. You probably know him as Uber YouTuber. He's Daniel Basil. Daniel, welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Rich. Honestly, a dream come true of sorts here. I've been a fan of the show for well over 3 years now, and finally get to talk with you guys. It's awesome. Glad to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you here. Lots of good stuff to talk about. And the community manager of Franchise Hockey Manager 3, Mr. Night Attack 09 himself, Adam Burnett. Adam, welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me on again, Rich.
So a lot of different good stuff to talk about. I want to start with you, Chris, Millennium. You are one of the the core streamers for the Operation Sports Twitch TV channel, one of the producers of videos. How did you pivot into having streaming become such a big part of what you do related to not only you personally but with Operation Sports? And what was the process like? When did this happen? Was it a group process? Did it just sort of happen organically as a plan? Talk to me a little bit about the process that you've gone through with what you're doing and with what Operation Sports is doing as far as live streaming goes.
Well, before March of this year, actually, I was more site admin, forum admin for OS, and kind of quote-unquote mouthpiece outside of Steve Noah. So everyone knows Steve Noah, Chris Sanner, and myself in some way or another run OS.
Never heard of them. Not those people. With any of those people. Nope.
I mean, come on. Those people don't really mean anything compared to me, But I'm the kind of guy that likes to have creative outlets. Previously, my job gave them to me, my real life job. As much as I want to say that I have a 40-hour work week with OS, it's, not all that. But that being said, MLB The Show came out, and MLB The Show, I think I've said on this program before, one of my favorite sports games.
And I would strongly agree with that statement. It's been, I'm still can't, and we're not going to have this conversation yet, but man, I'm still, boy, what's number one and number two this year? I'm constantly going back and forth every day, but MLB Show is one of the two games in that conversation.
We had that conversation very, very quickly on Twitter at one point today or this week. So can't wait to have that again. That being said, I decided to start streaming on the OS account for MLB The Show. There was a niche that I didn't see as much when I was watching Twitter because I consumed Twitter and Twitch previously before I started streaming. And I noticed that no one streamed franchise mode. Everyone that streamed was either Ultimate Team or competitive, that kind of stuff. And I said, you know what? I really want to show people that there is really great franchise modes in sports games. And that kind of goes to what OS is more leaning towards anyway. So starting with MLB The Show, I started streaming that. And then, you know, TJ and I started doing a show on Mondays.
Banter. Absolutely.
Yep. So TJ, that sports gamer. And from there, I said, you know what? If I'm doing this with MLB The Show, it came to August, and we all know what comes out in August. Madden came out. So I said, you know what? Madden has a really great franchise mode. I bet you I could make franchise mode just as popular as I have MLB The Show on my Twitch stream. So I started a Detroit Lions franchise, and people seemed to draw towards it. And eventually I got to the point where I was like, that's what my niche is. My niche is franchise versus the computer, and people have responded to it.
Daniel, you are one of the most intriguing YouTube personalities that I've been watching over the last few years. You've had quite a journey in streaming, and I want to make sure that we get to a whole bunch of different stuff, but you've got a unique approach, and I'm fascinated to hear it. You recently got it to a very large number of subscribers. Congratulations. Just in the last week, you reached 10,000 subscribers on your YouTube. Is that to your YouTube or to your Twitch, or is that combined?
YouTube. That's on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, first of all, congratulations. That's an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
But you're right now highly focused on mobile sports games, and even in more specifically, highly focused on NBA Live Mobile, which I bet you a lot of people don't know about, but boy, the people who are into it, like you, are really into it, and you found a pretty significant niche there. So we're going to talk more about that specifically, but talk to me a little bit about your path to success in streaming. When did you get into it? What was your approach at first, and how did you sort of arrive where you are now? You know, one of the very much so up and coming and popular sports game streamers.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, so the way I got into it, actually, I mentioned that in a video today. I did a little Q&A video, and a lot of people always ask me, why did you start YouTube? Why did you start streaming or making videos? And honestly, one reason was all my, you know, local real life friends, some of them are gamers, some of them aren't. You know, people are busy. We could never find time to play anymore. We would never be on at the same time. And that was kind of an issue. And, you know, gaming is a pretty big part of my life. And so I felt the need to kind of reach out and make some new friends in the gaming world. So the best way to do that, in my opinion, was to just start streaming, you know, and see who shows up and start talking to people, like-minded people that are into the same games that I'm into. So I started about a year and a half ago, and I did a lot of Madden Ultimate Team streams. For a while there, I was doing a nightly Madden stream for about 2.5-3 hours long. And they got pretty popular, and there was a lot of the same people, that came in every day. And, you know, that's a commitment. But I had...
That's why I said, wow, 2 to 3 hours a day every day. My goodness, man.
Right. But, you know, it was a window that I had every day throughout the week. It just worked out with my schedule, and it was before the family got home, and I could just that was my gaming time. And so I just decided the few hours that I have to game, I'm just going to stream and see what happens. So I did that for a long time. I did that pretty much all throughout the mutt season. And then MLB The Show came out. And to Millennium's point, MLB The Show is a great game to stream.
Yeah.
You know, you can stream every game, in my opinion. Or you can. You can stream every game, but some just feel more natural than others. For example, if you really want to interact with the audience, it's tough to stream a game like NHL. As much as I love the game, your eyes are glued to the ice, right? There, you can't take your eyes off unless there is a, you know, a dead puck or, you know, some kind of penalty or something. But MLB has kind of a good rhythm, you know, where you can look down at the chat between pitches and things of that nature. And Madden is somewhat of the same way in that regard, because, you know, you run a play and then you have a few seconds to kind of pick your next play, but you can also kind of glance at the chat. So MLB and Madden were the two games that I really enjoyed streaming a lot, because I could still keep the, you know, keep the audience involved in it. And that's kind of a big thing for me to try. You know, I try to get to everybody's comments, but it's tough sometimes, you know. I'm sure Millennium knows that.
Believe me, playing NHL. Ooh, excuse me. Playing NHL and NBA 2K especially.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Those are the two that I have, and I still, what I found is I actually play on stream a level lower than I would play offline, just so I could focus more on the chat. Because one of the things, as Daniel said, one of the things that I pride myself on is being able to continuously interact.
Yes,
I feel like that, especially in my niche, it's imperative to be able to tell that story of what a franchise is going on. So it's as important what I'm saying as it is what's going on in the field, to bring people into that. So again, it's imperative to be able to capture the audience with your words. And to do that, you have to interact with what they're saying.
So Adam, you're in a different situation where you're the community manager for a PC-based hockey strategy game. You know, it's not exactly the fast-paced, you know, stick skills-based game. And I do not believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that you were much of a streamer, except obviously in our Pressure League, which you run, before you took over the duties of a community manager. So you collaborate with one of the franchise hockey manager producers, Jeff Riddles, every week on the Out of the Park Developments YouTube site and Twitch site every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. So what did, when you first started streaming, when you first became a community manager, sort of what did you think that you were getting into? And then over time, as you've become more familiar with it and interacted with people and collaborated with Jeff, what has your experience been like? What have you learned, and what's that overall process been like for you?
Well, starting for us, and we wanted to do something to reach out to the community, and because there's a lot of people playing these types of franchise manager games, and part of the issue with the games are they are very in-depth. There's lots to do, lots to look and try and understand what's going on. So we said, what's the best way for us to do this? And one of the things we immediately came to was, well, we need to do some videos. Well, rather than just do videos, we said, why don't we do live streams? I mean, obviously, if we're on, then people are free to come and ask questions, and we can start developing from there. So we started with that. We started off just doing a current Winnipeg Jets franchise with Franchise Hockey Manager 2, and then it became, well, we also have an awesome historical mode. So let's do a previous Winnipeg Jets team, because they were one of the worst teams in history at one point. So we had two different streams going. And what we got from that was a lot of feedback from people in our community going, yes, we're really enjoying these, and we're finding out about a lot of things that we didn't know were in the game or didn't know how to access them properly. For instance, what's the best way to scout? What's the best way to make a trade or help put your tactics right? And that's been really invaluable feedback for both us as the ones who are streaming and for the developers, because they can say, okay, well, here's what we need to tweak. And being able to speak to the community every week and find out, okay, well, somebody wants us to look more at trades. Okay, well, then let's go trade for somebody. And there's that really nice feedback back and forth between both us as those who are working on the game and the community.
You know, that's an amazing point that you make, Adam, right? Because obviously you're coming at it, you're representing the developer. You know, you are part of the team that is making and representing the game. Whereas Chris, for example, you are a fan of the games that you're playing, but you're also doing it under the banner of Operation Sports, which is an independent media site, but still a media site. So what are some of the benefits, Chris, that you have seen, either expected or unexpected, from live streaming from the vantage point of being someone who is, for lack of a better term, you know, a critic or an enthusiast, you know, more than just a fan, you know, because you are representing Operation Sports?
I think Adam hit a huge one on the head. People don't always get the depth of all of these games, especially when it comes to like scouting in NBA 2K. I'll use the scouting example because I think scouting in most games is overlooked. And when people come into my stream, because I'm doing, again, franchise mode, I get to show off just how deep scouting is in some of these modes. And a lot of people don't get that. So one of the things I get is that sense of achievement in that I'm allowing people to understand there are different ways to play this game, and you may not know what is your niche yet. I think a lot of people get intimidated by the depth of some of the modes. Again, we'll talk about NBA 2K. NBA 2K has a huge learning curve when it comes to dribbling.
I don't even know how to dribble. I play NBA 2K. I'm back to playing it almost every day right now. I don't even know how to dribble. I just move my guy around the court. I don't do anything related to dribbling on purpose.
And I'm exactly like you. So when I go ahead and I show that I tweeted out a video of I did my first crossover where a guy fell down. And like I got nice feedback on that from that's exactly what it was, because I said, you know what, I'm going to figure this out, because if I can show that my weak point is something that I can achieve, people that watch in this chat will go, okay, if he can do it, he's terrible. If he can do it, I can do it. To be quite honest, I lose most of the games I stream. And I get the audience because they want that learning experience. Hey, if he can do it, I can do it. And they want to know, like, team building. I'm really good at team building. These are things that most people don't dive into. And that's where I think that's why I continue to do it, is because I can show, like, I think you mentioned on a previous Press Row podcast, you've seen me play NHL. When you see me play NHL, it looks different than most of the streams you're going to see.
Yes.
Because most people are playing HUT or online.
Yes. And you got it set to the like real world mode. I'm like, oh my God, that looks nothing like the NHL that I've been playing for the last 2 days.
And I get that a lot. A lot of people were saying, wait, is this NHL 17? And I said, yeah. And well, how many sliders have you changed? I said, I haven't changed anything. This is full sim offline. I was like, I get to show that to people that, you know what, if you guys don't think this game plays, you know, quote unquote sim, or if you don't think this game plays to what you want it to do, let me show you that it can. And I get tweets, and like I said, the tweets that I get that say, hey, you really helped me enjoy this game a little bit more, that means a ton to me. So that's why I can, you know, that's what I get out of it.
So Daniel, you're kind of an amazing dude. So like the other day, I'm doing a little research, getting ready for the show. And I will occasionally, whenever Daniel tweets out, oh, I'm live doing this, you know, if I'm able to, I'll click on it and I'll watch. But the other day, I'm doing some research. Daniel is opening card packs in NBA Live Mobile while in his car, live streaming. I'm like, what is happening here? I don't even understand anything that I'm looking at. He's opening cards in a mobile basketball game that, like, no one in the world that I know plays, but yet he's in his car and he's got hundreds of people watching. Like, this, to an old man that is, you know, was around in the original world of Super Tecmo Bowl, this is just an astounding thing. How did you get here? And what is this community that you created around this game and how you stream it? It blows me away. It's so fascinating to see.
Rich, I'm not that far behind you. I grew up, I'm a kid of the 80s. So I had the Game Boy. I got the Game Boy as a birthday present. That was a big, so I've kind of grown up with video games from somewhat in the beginning days. I had an Amiga 500. I think that was my first ever exposure to any kind of gaming. So, I've come a long ways, and I marvel at the technology that we have these days as well. I mean, essentially, we're carrying a console in our pockets, right, with our cell phone. And not only is it a video game console, heck, you can do your taxes on it. You can, talk to people across the world and stream and record and do all kinds of stuff. And it is pretty amazing. And honestly, so here's a little backstory. Uber YouTuber is my channel name. I am an Uber driver, which is like a ride sharing. For those of you who don't know, it's a ride sharing app, kind of like a taxi service you can sign up for, and you can drive around your personal car and give people rides. I wish I could take credit for the name as being super clever, that I'm a YouTuber making videos in my Uber car. It just kind of happened to turn into that out of necessity. Much like you guys, I'm pretty busy. I mean, I work full time. I have a son. I have the Uber job on the side. So gaming, I basically didn't have that 2 to 3 hour window anymore to game every day. And I had to figure out a different way to do things. And that's what kind of got me hooked on mobile games, because I kind of always, I've been a console gamer for a really long time, and I always thought mobile games were kind of a lesser product. And I just kind of never really gave it a chance, to be honest with you. And until recently, when just people in my stream were recommending me playing mobile games, play NBA Live Mobile. So I eventually just downloaded the app, started playing it, and I said, you know what? This is actually really fun. This is a good game. This is a quality product, considering, you're playing it on your phone, And recording in my car, it just became a thing, I have a routine, and I kind of, I can record in my car. It's kind of my own little, I call it my mobile recording booth. Because it's kind of your uninterrupted space. I mean, every once in a while, I get a crazy look from somebody that walks by the car because I'm screaming because I just pulled some rare elite card. And I get it, they're confused. And I have a confused look on my face. And it's kind of this great moment that I have sometimes with people outside of the car, it became a thing out of necessity. Now I actually really enjoy it. And it is actually one of the most asked questions I get in my videos. Why do you record in your car? I've even gotten questions. Do you live in your car? Do you have a home?
It's weird. It's like weird. That. You are the only person I've ever seen that is doing live streams and YouTube videos that is not, doesn't have the green background, where they're sort of integrated directly in the screen, or you don't have the nice graphic around it. It's like you in your car looking down. I'm like, how is this even happening? I don't understand what I'm seeing here.
It is bare bones. But you know what? I always tell people, it doesn't take a lot to make content, I encourage people, just do it. Try it, I mean, the equipment, aside from the cell phone, the app I use to record is free. Most of the stuff, the game I play is somewhat free. I mean, you can download it free. You can play the game for free. You can make some great content with whatever you got, So I always encourage people to just try it, Why not?
Hey, everybody. We're going to take just a real quick break to thank the sponsors of tonight's show. It's called Terms. It's a brand new audio podcast, a drama podcast on the Wondery.com network. Wondery has some really interesting stuff, and Terms is one of the brand new shows in the Wondery.com network and their stable of shows. Terms, it's kind of like the old Law and Order, right? Ripped from the headlines, ripped from today's headlines. Terms is all about political intrigue. So here's the situation. America has voted in the most controversial president in U.S. history, Charles Dunwalk. The outgoing two-term president, Oliver Pierce, makes a secret decision to act setting in motion a series of events that will have historic and possibly catastrophic consequences. What will the outgoing president do? Well, check out the new podcast Terms. New episodes drop every Sunday. There's a couple of them out there already. All you have to do to find it is go to Wondery.com, and then Terms is right there in their stable of shows. Again, it's called Terms. You can also subscribe to Terms on iTunes or on Stitcher, again, on Wondery.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, new episodes drop every Sunday. I listen to the trailer. It sounds, you know, it's so funny. It's like old-time radio, but with the 21st century, all the incredible talent on display with the people and the technology that allows it to really just come across incredibly powerfully. I'm not sure if you've ever really checked out the audio drama podcast. It's a fascinating genre, and you can really find yourself just getting right into it and having a whole lot of fun listening to this stuff. Because again, the quality is so good. And Terms is just another great example of that. So again, go check out Terms. It's at Wondery.com. You can subscribe to it on iTunes and Stitcher, on Wondery.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you to Terms and Wondery.com for sponsoring tonight's episode of the Press Row Podcast. Yeah, we're definitely going to talk even more about the mobile game space and what you found really works in more depth in a few minutes. But before that, I want to talk to you a little bit more, Adam, right? So one of the things, Adam, that you mentioned earlier, you know, when you first started, you had some ideas of what you wanted to do, but then quickly the audience started, you know, saying things or asking questions or not really directing you, but giving you good ideas on what to do. At what point did you, and was there a point, I assume there is, but at what point did you sort of realize that the audience, when you're streaming, really helps direct what you're going to do as opposed to you sort of creating your own agenda?
One of the great things about Twitch is, again, being able to export our videos to YouTube. So being able to have that archive and being able to see and kind of essentially track who's watching our videos, because the people leaving comments on YouTube usually are the same every single week when our videos are published, just like the same people who are coming to watch our Twitch streams are usually the same people. So we have some very dedicated fans. So when you have those fans keep coming back and going, okay, well, what do I do if I get to this? Or have you tried doing that? It really helps direct what we want to do and where we want to go to help everyone explore and enjoy the game.
And one of the things that I have, even just myself, right? I don't do a lot of streaming, but I do some. In fact, the other day I got to the end of my 162 game season with the Mets, got through the playoffs, got to the World Series. It was game 7 of the World Series. And I'm like, you know what? I don't stream very much, but I'm going to stream this in MLB 16, the show. And it was great. And about, you know, 12 or 13 people showed up. And there were a few comments. And of course, things got a little dicey late in the game. And Gus Ramsey, our good friend, is screaming at me. Well, screaming at me in upper caps in the chat saying, bring in Familia. I'm like, no, it's only the eighth inning. I'm not doing it. You know, I had to left, right. And ultimately, I did win the game, won the World Series. It was a really cool moment. But it's the live interaction with the people who are watching you. Sometimes you literally know them, and sometimes you don't. Adam, I presume, as you mentioned, right, it's sort of a core group that typically watch Franchise Hockey Manager 3 streams and comment on the videos. You've gotten to know some people in the community that you would not have otherwise through the streams, and that has probably helped bring them closer to the game, and perhaps even, to your point, you're not influenced, but certainly helped frame some of the discussions and maybe even prioritize some things that the development team is working on in the game. Is that a fair statement?
I believe so. I'm just going to throw a quick shade at Millennium, because as you're talking this whole time, I'm going, oh, is he going to pull Baltimore Orioles? So just...
Ouch!
Jeez. But, definitely. I mean, what the community wants is the direction you want your game company to go, I think, and what direction the game wants to go. And I mean, the thing is, with being a management game, there is so many different options that we can do. And just because, you know, we're staying topical, one of our highest hit videos for quite some time was we did a Las Vegas franchise just to see what would happen way back as soon as they kind of announced that the team was likely going to be there. and just drafted a team to see what would happen. And people were fascinated to be like, okay, well, what would a Vegas team look like? And now that we're getting all these more details and what they announced today, it's going to be the Golden Knights. It's
not the Las Vegas Golden Knights, just the Vegas Golden
Knights. Vegas Golden Knights, yeah. So, you know, seeing things like that, it's like, okay, well, people really care about expansion. Well, do they know that they can expand our league so you can go to up to 36 teams in the NHL? I mean, that's a huge expansion for a league, and that's part of the fascination things. And those are the type of things we like showing.
So Adam and I, of course, we represent to some degree the game that we work for, right, which is Out of the Park Developments and Franchise Hockey Manager. Chris, you don't represent a gaming company. You represent, as we've said, a media company. So where do you – I'm curious as to where you stand. What is your opinion on the shifting landscape of how – these games are covered, right? Like Operation Sports to this day, to this minute, like literally today, you guys posted some really deep information on a couple of the latest patches that have come out, right? It's the kind of information that you can only get in written form, you know, like 2,000 words on what every detail was on the patch, right? And obviously the Operation Sports community, that is exactly the target for who patch notes for major games like NHL and NBA 2K are meant for. However, with the ability to produce videos, your own videos and your own streams and stuff as the publisher, as a media company, sort of where do you stand on what this phenomenon, where this puts the publishers in this place and where it puts you in the media spot? Like I'm interested to hear what your take is from that perspective.
The video medium is where this is all going. I work for a site that does reviews on written on the website. They give scores. You know, Metacritic still gives scores from aggregating a lot of sites. But if you look at IGN, that let's just go with a leader. Look at IGN on any of their reviews. Their reviews are now written, but they've got four or five videos laced through them. IGN gets more aggregate on their videos. Like today they did a Final Fantasy 15 Let's Play a week before it's going to release. Their videos do a ton more than their written reviews do now. People scroll down to the score and see, okay, well, this is what IGN gave it. Most of them don't care what was written in the actual review. And then they look, every IGN review now has a video review attached to it. As much as I believe there's always going to be a place for, as you said, written word, community feedback, because that's the other thing too, is that community feedback can't be done via videos. That interaction between a dev and a gamer, while it may come from content creators on YouTube and Twitch, there still has to be an area where feedback can be given back and forth, such as a forum like OS, a couple other ones that, you know, Sports Gamer Online, those kind of guys, where they have on or Pasta Padre, even, you know, Brian's site, where they have a forum to talk to community members. But when it comes to reviewing, video's where it's at, and the shorter the video, the better. If you put out a 20-minute video reviewing a game, people are going to skip through it. You put out a 3-minute review where you're going to miss a lot of stuff, but you can give a score and stuff like that. I think that's where this medium is going. And I don't know that I like that's what it is, but that's, I just think that's the idea now, is let's give them this video. If people want to dive deeper, we're going to give them that information afterwards, but engagement over social media dictates that you need to have that short video to get everybody involved.
So Daniel, you have recently become an EA Sports game changer. Now, I presume that happened basically because they saw what you were doing. And when I say what you were doing, I'm hypothesizing on all this. You and I have not had this conversation, but I presume they saw what you were doing with FIFA Mobile and NBA Live Mobile, which are games that I'm positive that they're looking to get more exposure of, because of you know, they are mobile games, which in the mobile sports world, there's 10 billion mobile sports games, and it's hard to differentiate yourself, even if you're a licensed game. At what point did you start to have conversations with, you know, EA? What point did they reach out to you? What did that look like when you went from being just a guy who's doing this independently to, wait, I'm a guy who's now evidently on somebody's radar at EA to where they want me to be a game changer? And being a game changer means having a voice and perhaps influencing some of the directions. I'm curious how that all happened and where that all is at the moment.
Yeah, so it's definitely fairly recent that I got the game changer status. A big person who played a big part in that is Corey Andrews. He's a
never heard of him. Don't know.
Never
guy.
Heard of him.
Do not know him. Never worked with him. No clue. Sorry.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Nope.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Not at all.
So he, you know, he supported me early on. I've been a big fan of, you know, I listen. I love gaming. I listen to the Press Row pod. I listen to the post game pod. I'm a big fan of those these shows. So I've been in touch with Corey for quite some time, and I was super happy that he got on board with EA. And it just kind of, yeah, him being a part of EA and me kind of taking off with the NBA Live mobile stuff, kind of all. It was a perfect storm of sorts, and it kind of just it made sense. And he invited me out to a Game Changer University last month, and now I'm proud to say I'm a Game Changer. Which, again, that's a dream come true from a kid from Germany. I've been playing FIFA since the mid '90s, and you know, I always EA Sports was always just this mythical. Company that I never, you know, dreamt of ever actually going to and visiting the campus. So it's really cool to have done that. I'm definitely excited. And the other thing is it's really nice to now have a voice with the developers and be able to not only play the games but see things that could use some improvement and be able to reach out directly to the people who are making the games. And that's really a big thing for me as well. And being a game changer has enabled me to do so, though. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Adam, you collaborate with Franchise Hockey Manager 3 producer Jeff Riddles on your weekly live streams. What is the collaboration process like? How is it different than if you're doing it on your own? You know, what are you guys able to both bring to the table that perhaps you or he on your own wouldn't be able to do from a live streaming perspective and you know, long-term video production perspective?
I'm going to make a super Canadian reference here just because, you know.
Well, you are Canadian. It's okay.
Well, exactly.
I mean, he's playing hockey. He has to be Canadian.
In Canada, again, curling is one of these sports that a lot of people watch up in Canada, and I know that probably confounds many Americans, and that's okay.
I watch it for 2 weeks a year, every 4 years.
Exactly, during the Olympics. But it's a big sport up here, just about from September to all the way to into April. And one of the commentators who's been calling the games for as long as I've been alive, his name's Vic Router. Works for TSN in Canada, which is the ESPN equivalent. And he asks the dumbest questions you can possibly ask at most of the time. But the reason he does it is because it allows the other people in the stream to showcase their knowledge. It allows the people watching to connect with what's going on in the game. And as funny as that sounds, I think that's something really important to do in your stream when you're able to have two or more people, is to have that person who's there to ask those questions in just to see how things are going. Because if you have two people talking and you get to a point where only the two of you can understand, there's a fundamental disconnect with your audience, and that's a problem.
So, Chris, you're also a sometimes solo streamer and a sometimes collaborative streamer. You do the Twitch streaming, as we talked about, over under the Operation Sports banner, but you also do Bullpen Banter, with our own TJ Lowerman as well, which is sort of an independent venture. How do you approach the single man stream where you're controlling the action versus the collaboration?
The single man stream, I prepare for either way. If you want to be a semi-decent streamer at any time, you want to take a few minutes before you sit down and say, this is what we're going to do today. Yes, you have to be able to adapt to what the stream is looking for as people come through. But like, say for my Detroit Lions franchise on Sunday mornings, I will sit down at 9:30 and say, all right, we're going to play weeks 15, 16, and 17. I'm going to make sure I look at these prospects when I'm scouting, because these are guys we've looked at before, get attachment to specific prospects for the draft, and just have an idea of what I'm getting myself into. And I also say, I plan on streaming for this long. When TJ and I sit down for Bullpen Banter, it's the Wild West. We both prepare, but we play off each other more than the preparation is. Like, we'll have a schedule sat down, but our main goal is to use our chemistry with each other to entertain. So we'll have a plan and say, we'll go over the roster update, and then we'll go over these new flashback cards, and then we'll do game of the night. Well, game of the night sometimes doesn't start till 11:30 when it's supposed to start at 10:45, because he and I are riffing back and forth. So, and I think two guys we all know, Zach Farley and Stephen Gibbons at Madden Tips, those are kind of the guys that inspired me to want to do Bullpen Banter with TJ.
They were the originals. I still remember the first time that I went to their offices, and TJ and I actually, we went to where S. Gibbs and Z. Farles were. And they just, and this is, it's at least 3 years ago, maybe four. And all of a sudden, we're just in the conversation, like, you guys want to do some live stream right now? Like, yeah, sure. To me, it was just like magical, crazy, ethereal thing. And they just fired up the machine within 30 seconds. There's like 150 people watching. And then within a minute and a half, there's like 500 people watching. I'm like, what is happening here? This is like craziness. And boom, they just went right into it, started doing their thing. It was amazing to behold. Steve and Zach are, in my opinion, the original sports game streamers. And the fact that they're both doing their thing down at EA, not the least bit surprised that they have found their way down there.
Well, and the thing is that they started teaching Madden, but when I go into their streams, yes, I'm learning about Madden, and they do things that you can take into all Madden modes. Like, they talk about Ultimate Team, but the schemes they use, you can use in franchise mode. That's the great thing about them, is they don't sell money plays. They teach football. But at the same time, the two of them is what grew their viewership, not their Madden stuff. They could be talking about National Geographic, and the two of them is what sold the channel for me. Their chemistry back and forth, their interaction, though they are entertainers together, and that is what, like I said, that's what inspired me to do Bullpen Banter with TJ, is like, because TJ and I have a unique chemistry where I genuinely hate him, and and I'm pretty sure he doesn't think I exist, but it works when we talk to each other.
By the way, TJ was supposed to be on the show tonight, but when he heard that you were coming on, he backed out. So
yeah, no, I cheered off mic when I said he wasn't going to be on. So, but yeah, it's one of those things when you have multiple people in a stream like that. And I watch Twitch streams. There's a couple really cool, like Dungeons and Dragons Twitch streams, where it's multiple people, and it's not the people, it's not the story that they're telling. It's how they're telling it and their chemistry. So multiple user Twitch streams are a whole nother beast.
Yeah, it's funny with the feedback I get a lot of, probably the episode that I get the most feedback, the Presser episode we get the most feedback on every year, is the Sports Game of the Year show. But the episode that I get the closest amount of feedback to, and it's pretty close, is the sort of the Christmas Spectacular, when we get all sorts of different people from all over, developers and PR people and people outside the sports game world to give their top three. Every year, people love Steve and Zach's top three, because they just They come on, they do 14 minutes of riffing, they're kicking each other's butts, they're making fun of each other, and then they're out. They're the pros. Daniel, I got to keep coming back to this. NBA Live Mobile. Like, you've created a 10,000 man army from NBA Live Mobile. What is it that you have discovered, this faithful niche of people that are not only interested in watching you do the live streams, but, you know, it's not even about playing the game. It's about the card packs. Like, talk to me about this phenomenon behind your 10,000 man army and NBA Live Mobile. Why does it work? Why does it work so well? Why are so many people now so into this, and why does it work for you personally?
Okay, so the cards, obviously, very popular. New cards come out all the time, just like in Mutt and all the Ultimate Team modes across the board. Very popular. I like to think that the 10,000 people didn't just come from the cards. I like to think, kind of to Millennium's point, he said he loses most of the games that he plays, but people come to the stream and they enjoy his stuff. Bottom line, people want to be entertained, right? And my thing kind of is being terrible at this game, at all games, really. I'm just horrible at most of these games. I mean, I did a little steep stream the other night, and I did the wingsuit. And
dude, when your guy went face first down the mountain, I laughed out loud for about a minute straight. You're just like, oh, he's dead. He's dead. That was fantastic. And you know what? That's
my content in a nutshell, really. It's just, I just roll with it. And I have those kind of little moments on NBA Live as well, where I'm just terrible and I completely screw up. And people seem to enjoy it, which is which baffles me sometimes. But yeah, the packs, I try to do daily pack openings. I try to at least open some packs for people to see, because that does seem to be a pretty popular thing. And that's kind of what keeps me really engaged in NBA Live Mobile. It is a fun game to play. It's really fun. Now, it's not as in-depth, obviously, as a console experience, you know, with stat tracking and all, like, relocation and all the crazy cool things you can do in some of these console games. But having the cards and having new content constantly does seem to keep everybody involved. You know, there's sets to complete. There are these daily life events to do, much like in Mutt. And so what I try to do is I just try to play whatever is new in the game every single day and just record it and try to give viewers a perspective from, you know, my perspective from the game and how I'm playing the game. And the other amazing thing about having a community of people that watch your videos on the daily is they help me out a lot. You know, I know a lot about the game, but it always amazes me how much more other people know about the game and how into it they are. And they help me out. Oftentimes I pose a question in one of my videos and I'll get, 20 answers within 30 minutes. And it's just like, wow, these, people are really, really into it. They know their stuff. And yeah, it's exciting. It's really cool. It's definitely nice to have in the old days, a game would come out and that was the game. That was the game you played until another game came out. Even the yearly sports game releases. Now it's kind of this ever evolving beast, right? They're kind of starting to go away from putting even the year numbers behind the titles, which I think is a good idea, just keep it ever evolving. And it's kind of a neat thing they got going in mobile right now.
And Rich, he's going to be humble, but I'm going to tell you, just specifically for his channel, he started me playing NBA Live Mobile.
Oh, dude, I guarantee you that Daniel started thousands of people playing NBA Live Mobile. And I'm I'm a data guy, right? You have 10,000 subscribers, and a year and a half ago you had zero. And NBA Live Mobile has been, from what I can see, the biggest driver to that. So I guarantee you, Chris, that you are one of thousands of people that have at least tried it, which, it, of course, is no surprise to me than EA being smart. You know, the people who run EA kind of know what they're doing. They're like, whoa, this guy, he's an influencer, right? Let's try to connect with him and see what he can do for us. I mean, that's the world that we're in, and that's what I find so fascinating, right? So, for example, this year when I took the job out of the park developments, one of the very first things that I said we have to do is we have to have live streams every week. And I said, Adam, are you up for live streaming every week? And Adam said, absolutely. Now, he could have been in the back of his mind, I don't even know how to live stream. Maybe I can learn from somebody. But he stepped up and he did it. Because if you're running, whether you're running Out of the Park Developments, which is one of the smallest video game companies in the world, or whether you're running Electronic Arts, the biggest video game company in the world, live streaming is critical. Getting your game in the hands of people that are supportive of your game is critical, because millions of people now discover their games through video instead of through any other way. You know, Adam, I'll ask you this question, right? So what do you do differently right now when you're starting your streaming tomorrow night, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Franchise Hockey Manager 3? What do you do before the stream, during the stream, after the stream? What do you do differently than you did when you first started? I mean, does it feel like it's been 11 months? Does it feel like it's been 11 years? Or do you approach things differently now? What have you learned over the last, you know, 11 months you've been doing this with your approach that you do differently now than you did when you first started?
Well, touching back on what Millennium and Daniel both said, tying in, really important is having a plan, knowing what you want to do, what you kind of want to cover, what you want to try and get up to. I mean, playing for us, maybe it's looking more at a roster, trying to build more. Maybe it's playing a few games and seeing how things sum out. But going back to, again, it's building that chemistry with Jeff. I mean, getting to know Jeff over the past 11 months. That's hard to believe it's been 11 months. How much fun that's been. And even just going on like that, building up, even when I stream occasionally with TJ and go on and we play, you know, we're playing as the Braves, or we started a campaign moving the Seattle Mariners to Vancouver just to upset everybody.
Good. Get them out of Seattle. Get them out of there.
Seattle doesn't need any more teams. So
seriously,
took them out. And so just trying different things and seeing what works and what doesn't work. And I mean, to say that we're perfect would be not true. I mean, it's still a learning process. You're never done learning.
And technical problems happen all the time. Adam, what is a memorable technical glitch that you've had during a live stream?
We had Windows 10 just randomly shut down when I think that was when Jeff was streaming. His computer just shut down, and I was left sitting here going like, okay, well, that's pretty interesting.
Well,
it's just, you know, you got to love those Windows updates, right?
I remember one time when we were only announcing the NHL license. We're getting ready to live stream. We've been promoting it for weeks. We had to delay it, the original announcement, because of just getting all of the, you know, agreements in place. And we're finally ready to do it. We're promoting it. It's like, yes, tonight we're announcing a huge thing. It's massive, people. And then we probably were 20 minutes late because Jeff's computer shut down twice, I think. Not once, yeah. But twice.
Yeah, I will also say, just because as well, having a good, strong internet connection also helps.
Yes.
This Canadian internet is very up and down depending on where you are. So,
Millennium, any technical glitches looking back that cause you quite a lot of angst at the moment, but you can look back and laugh at, or maybe not even laugh? Who knows?
Always turn on, in whatever streaming program you're using, confirm to end stream, because there's nothing better, quote unquote sarcasm, all of that, than ending a stream and then sitting there whistling, looking at your computer monitor, and then realizing, wait a second, my webcam's still on. Wait, there's still people in the chat. These people in the chat are still talking to me. I'm like, what's going on? And then I realized I was still streaming, so I immediately turned on the Ferris Bueller. You're still doing, like, I went on YouTube and went, you're still here? what are you doing? And just went right with it. Luckily, I didn't do anything embarrassing. There are no, you know, photos of me around the internet with anything hanging out. Thank God. But always, always turn on confirm to end stream so that way you don't, you know, accidentally, while you're looking at the camera, think, oh, yeah, stream end. I'm fine. And then lean back and go, you know what? That was a really, really okay stream, but I hate all of the people that talk to me.
Daniel Basil, any famous technology glitches that you've had? And again, as a driver, live streaming with cell phones, God only knows what's happened to you here along the way.
A lot of variables. Millennium, that's pretty impressive, though. Great improvisation there to get on YouTube and get that clip going. That's great. I've had, you know, in my live streams on console, I've had everything from power outages to Girl Scout cookie salespeople knocking on my door during the stream. I've had pretty much everything happen. As far as in the car, you just get people walking by looking at you funny. I've had people honk at me to move. There's been some interesting times. Just actually the other night when I was streaming Steep, the first 8 minutes of that stream was mute. Nobody could hear me. So I'm shouting out everybody that's coming through. There's, you know, dozens and dozens of people coming through the stream, and I'm shouting. I'm doing my darnest trying to shout everybody's name out, only to realize that I've been on mute the entire time. So
nice.
So then you go through, okay, do I stop the stream? Do I figure out? It wasn't just muted. There was some technical issue. I'm unplugging my microphone, plugging it back in, and I'm getting up, and I'm telling people in the chat, type 1 if you can hear me, type 2 if you can't. And then I get a bunch of zeros and threes and everything in between, and it's just, it can be a disaster sometimes, but you know, it's all fun. It's really all fun. You just got to roll with it, like Millennium did, kind of. You just got to roll with it. Those things are going to happen, you know?
So, Millennium, what are your goals right now? And are they different than they were when you first started when it comes to streaming?
I mean, I want to be rich. Not like Rich Grisham. I mean, I want some cash. Like, no, yeah, I'm kidding.
Because those things are very different, very different things.
No, I wouldn't mind being Rich Grisham either. But, no... My goal is to show people that no matter what way you play the game, it's okay. One of the main goals when I started becoming bigger on Twitter, when I started, you know, telling Steve, I said, listen, Steve, I'm going to start opening my mouth more. Not something I did a few years ago. It's just kind of explaining to people that sports games, while they get a bad rap with a lot of people, it's okay to play sports games.
It's okay. By the way, Chris, I'm going to interrupt you here. If you look at the September MPDs, number one, number two, number three, number four, sports games.
Yep.
Number
Absolutely.
One, number two, number three, number four. Not 1, 5, 8, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4. You should be proud to play sports games because we are funding a lot of this entire industry. So wear the sports game badge proudly, people. That's what I say.
And the other part of that is franchise mode. You know, franchise mode is awesome. Like, people see a lot of the streaming that's done is Ultimate Team. And yes, Ultimate Team has a huge place and can be very, very entertaining to watch. But you know what? So can franchise mode. And you can tell stories in franchise mode that you can't do in other ways. You can entertain people, and anyone can stream. I think that's the other thing that I really want to get through to people, that if you want to create content, again, I'll go back to Gibbs and Farrells. I'm not doing this if it's not for them. They inspired me to start it. And I said, if I can do it, I have huge anxiety when it comes to public speaking. But that being said, if I can do it, anybody can. You just have to commit yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to put the stuff together. I'm going to use the camera on my PlayStation 4 and just put my little box up in the upper right corner. And that's how I'm going to stream. And people, they're big Twitch users that stream from their PlayStation 4. That's kind of what I want to get across, is just it's not been about entertaining. It's been more educational and making sure people understand that there's a place for them no matter how they play.
Daniel Basil, what are your goals, both personal and professional, for streaming?
So well said by Millennium. That's, you know, the thing we touched on earlier. A lot of people play these sports games and they're stuck in one mode or one way. They experience the game one way, and there's many different, I mean, as deep as these games are, there's so many different ways to experience these games. And I think that's kind of where us streamers come in and showcasing some of these ways to enjoy the game. You know, NHL, you're playing a full sim offline franchise. Like you said, it looks completely different than a draft champions or a HUT match online, you know. And just getting people exposed to different ways to playing these games is just is awesome. I love that as well. And, you know, I got exposed to NBA Live Mobile, never played it in my life, and loved it, got hooked on it. And so I've been a product of getting exposed to a game that I never thought about giving it a chance until people, you know, told me, hey, check it out. And I started watching other YouTubers play the game. And I said, you know what, this looks pretty fun. Let me give it a shot. And to me, that's the main thing, just, you know, exposing people to all the different ways you can enjoy a game. That's a big thing.
Daniel, follow-up question for you. As a known influencer now, how does that impact what you do? It's very, you know, it's one thing if you are me and I have, you know, 20 or 30 people who follow me on Twitch. I stream once or twice a month randomly here or there. I'm not going to get thousands of people to see what I'm doing when it comes to streaming. Yes, I thankfully have the Pressure Podcast platform, but that's a different thing. You're an influencer. When you stream, you immediately get hundreds, if not thousands, of people watching, and people view you differently. How does that impact what you do and what you see yourself doing moving forward?
You know, it honestly doesn't impact me much. Obviously, there are things I can't say about the game now. I've always been a very positive person. So even much before I was ever an influencer, I've never really been known to bash a game or anything like that. So that's really not part of what I do. So nothing changes there. Of course, people associate me as being an EA game changer now, but I really, EA stressed from the very beginning for us to keep doing what we do, really don't change much. I mean, just do what you do. And that's kind of what I've done. I really honestly haven't changed much. I haven't changed my content at all. And I really haven't changed the way I talk about these games at all either. So it honestly hasn't impacted me as much as some people may think.
Adam, what are your goals for streaming, right? Again, you're streaming professionally as part of Franchise Hockey Manager 3. So what are your goals for what you're doing, both, you know, personally and professionally?
Keep building the brand. I mean, that's the number one thing. I mean, part of the reason why we wanted to do live streams was to build more awareness for the game. I mean, as you said, we are a very small company, and as Millennium touched on earlier, one of the ways people are consuming this the media more than ever is on YouTube, through YouTube videos and whatever else. So, I mean, continuing to build that. What are my professional goals? I'm not really sure on that. It's just been a fun ride so far, and I continue to like to stream not only, you know, Franchise Hockey Manager, but I love streaming our Press Row League games.
Yes.
For Madden, and
absolutely
having some fun streaming just Civilization 6 when I play it every once in a while. So, I mean, those are just to see people kind of wander in and see what you're playing. That's always kind of nice and awesome too. So,
So I've gotten a number of questions from people. So I want to close the show around these questions. And this is, you know, these are common themes that we've touched on a little bit, but I want to make sure we ask them explicitly. I'm going to go around the horn. So number one, I'm going to start with you, Daniel. What are the most important fundamentals for streaming? Like, you know, when you talk about, okay, now this is how I do it, this is what I do, this is the way that I do it. What are those fundamentals for you when it comes to live streaming?
Okay, for me, be enthusiastic, which I am. I mean, that's kind of, you got to be, right? You got to love the games. You got to like people, I think, because you're going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that come through your stream and you're going to get a lot of comments, and there's some good ones, some mostly good, really. 99% are good. There's going to be some bad ones. You got to, you know, you got to get some thick skin, you know, be enthusiastic. Just enjoy what you do. I mean, don't stream a game that you don't enjoy playing. Obviously, you probably wouldn't anyways, but, you know, be enthusiastic. And a strong internet connection is also recommended.
Adam, same question to you. What are when you're lining up your weekly Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Franchise Hockey Manager 3 streams, what are the fundamentals? What do you always make sure you got going on? What are your plans? What's fundamentally most important to you when you're getting ready to do your thing?
Make sure Windows 10 is up to date. Make sure XSplit is up to date, because that's been frustrating several times. Make sure your mic's plugged in. Make sure you have all your settings right, so you're not accidentally picking up the wrong mic or sound coming from where it's not. One of the, you know, just those little things. I mean, one of the funniest things I think we had by accident was in, I think, the second stream we ever did. Jeff had turned on his mic, so it was catching it from the program itself plus getting it in again. So he kept repeating, so it sounded like he was almost in a Darth Vader type mode. So nice. Just checking and doing little tests. I mean, that's really important.
Millennium, what are the fundamentals of streaming according to Millennium?
Be yourself. There are plenty of characters out there. But when you're first starting, go out there and understand you're going to have to put yourself out there. When I first started streaming, I didn't use a face cam. I talked very little. I tried to interact. Go out there and understand that it's okay. Like, it's okay to be you on stream. It's okay. People will flock to you. People will understand where you're coming from, no matter how you're streaming. Most importantly, be yourself. If not, you know, pro wrestling has a term. It's yourself on 11. Just turn yourself up a little bit to what your normal self is. As Daniel said, be enthusiastic with it. And above all, commit to it. If you're going to start streaming, set yourself one day a week where you're going to say, every day at this time, I'm going to stream. Start there. And then, you know, maybe move it up to 2 days. But whatever it is, be yourself, have fun, and commit to it. Because if all three of those things aren't met, you are going to start hating yourself for it. You're going to start failing, and you're going to be like, well, why am I doing this? And you're going to start questioning yourself. You got to make sure all three of those things are met. Once they are, you'll be fine.
All right. Last one. And this is a question directly from our good friend, Dave Searles. He's at Red Zone D25 on Twitter. I'm going to go around the horn and ask all three of this. We'll start with you, Chris. What do you know now that you wish you could have told yourself when you first started streaming?
I know now that I have the ability to interact with anybody. I think anybody does. I think everybody does. But when I first started streaming, I thought I was going to have to be very heavy-handed with the chat. And then, like what Daniel said, when negative people came through, I've actually turned negative people into viewers. And that's not something that I thought I had the ability to do. So one thing I wish I would have told myself is when I'm first starting with what I know now is just understand that you are going to deal with a lot of people and they're all there for you for some reason. And then you should accept that and want that.
Fantastic. Daniel Basil, same question to you. What do you know now that you wish you could have told yourself when you first started streaming?
Yeah, that's very well said there by Millennium. Streaming is it's kind of the great unknown when you first started, because you don't, you know, how many people are going to come through, how many, you know, who's going to comment, who are the people that are watching. Just know that no matter how many or how little people watch your stream, even if it's just a couple of people watching your stream, you know, you're making an impact in their life at that moment. I mean, they came to your stream to watch you play a game. So just keep that in mind, you know, with the things you say, you know, because essentially you're an influence to some of these people. I mean, my demographic is mostly younger. It's a younger audience. So you got to keep that in mind. You know, you got to know what to say. And people, you know, essentially, there may be people that look up to you and that they may want to, you might be an inspiration to those people. So just keep that in mind. You're making an impact on whoever's watching at that moment.
Great stuff. Adam, close us out. What do you know now that you wish you could have told yourself when you first started streaming?
Well, since my two earlier answers have already been taken, I'm just going to go with something very simple. And it's, you got to have fun. You got to pick something that you're going to enjoy to stream. You got to be able to have either community, start working on building up that community to have people there watching, or being able to have a co-host just to be able to have that interaction. I mean, those are the two most important things as far as I'm concerned.
Fantastic. Well, live streaming has completely changed everything when it comes to video games, from the people who make the games, to the people who play the games, to the people who sell the games, to the people who cover the games. And as we said at the top of the show, believe us, it ain't going anywhere. In fact, if anything, it's going to continue to grow and evolve and be the way that so many more people discover, learn about, and interact with the people who make the games and the people who play the game. So I just really want to extend a sincere thanks tonight to Chris Gunter, Millennium OS, Daniel Basil, Uber YouTuber, and Adam Burnett, Night Attack. Adam representing Franchise Hockey Manager 3 and Out of the Park Developments. Daniel representing his Uber YouTuber YouTube site with over 10,000 subscribers. And, of course, Millennium representing our great friends at Operation Sports. Thank you all, gentlemen, for some terrific insights, and thank you for doing what you do, because the reason that we had this conversation tonight is because you guys do exactly what you do. So we appreciate it, and we look forward to even more of that great stuff coming in the future. So on behalf of everybody here at the Press Row Podcast, thank you, everybody, for listening. We, as always, really appreciate it. And stick around. Boy, December is coming. That means the sports game of the year. That means the Christmas spectacular. It means all sorts of great stuff. So stick around and enjoy. And as always, just make sure you have a whole lot of fun playing all those great sports games out there.